You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are speaking especially about the last part, how to get into flow at work. Do you want to have fun at work? Do you want to experience satisfaction? And you want to get things done at work? Well, getting into flow is really about these things. It's a pretty amazing, perfect state, and there's a lot of research that happened about the last decades. And today we'll speak about this research here. And so that's maybe not specifically for statisticians per se, but it's an awesome episode for everybody that is really, so to say, a brain worker. And actually it's also for others, but really we take it from the brain worker perspective. So enjoy this episode. This podcast is created in association with PSI, as always, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Just visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. This time again, it's Benjamin and myself. Hi, Benjamin. How are you doing?
Hi, Alex. Yeah, very well. Thanks.
Our usual recording time on a Tuesday evening again.
Yeah, it is. So let's see. My little daughter's a little bit sick, so I hope we don't hear her screaming in the background at the time. But we'll see. I mean, that's life.
Yeah, that's life. That's life. Well, we both have a number of kids. You still kind of outperform me by one, and I don't have a plan to kind of keep up with it.
See, this is a challenge, Alexander. So,
three is enough. That's fine. Okay, so today the topic is not about kids, but about getting into flow. Benjamin, do you know what flow is?
Have you heard about that? Yeah, I heard about it. Actually, yeah, flow, it is basically the you know, it's kind of getting to move, really to do something, and I would say really to find the spot from where you know, get into really flowing, actually, as the word saying, towards the goal, whatever you set as a goal. Could be, you know, that you really start writing something and it's really the moving on without disruptions and really going on. Or programming, for example, is something where I remember from earlier days that there was something about really getting into flow. So, yeah, that's my definition.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it's quite good. Is there's, of course, some official definitions about that, and the inventor is a person that, I'll now try to pronounce the name correctly, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And of course, we'll have his TED Talk in the show notes, but he basically was the first person that described flow and the flow experience as something where you have really peak performance. And it's this word flow comes from those people that actually described about it. So flow is really described by this peak performance where you get into the flow. That's how lots of people describe it, actually. That's where the name is coming from. And you forget about time and what's happening around you, and things are just moving forward really, really nicely, and you're solving problems, and it's a state in which we, you know, really get things done in a more enormous amount of time in kind of very, very quick, and you know, you can be there for quite some time and be in this flow and get lots of things done. And it's not only for kind of cognitive tasks. You can also do that kind of, for example, in sports. Yeah. So if you're skiing, for example, you can be in this feeling where it's just kind of everything is flowing.
Yeah. That reminds me of downhill skiing, where, but actually the flowing is rather than it's too fast for braking anyway. So no, but seriously, no, I know this is, I think that you mentioned a very good point is then when you really lose time, like the feeling for time. So when you suddenly awake, it's dark outside and you realize it's above, you know, midnight already, and you just kept on working and doing something and just lost in your work.
Yeah. So I can remember a couple of times when I was in this flow experience, when I was really deeply in a mathematical problem, for example, at university. I can remember that, you know, I was looking up, or someone was knocking on the door, oh, time for lunch. And he said, whoa, already time for lunch. But actually you can be also in this flow in a group situation. So where you're discussing about something, or you're brainstorming and you're working together, and ideas are just flowing, and you're just performing really, really well. So it's just a lot of fun, and it's quite nice, this overall experience that I think is also something that you'll recognize always.
Yeah, which is not to be, you know, mixed up with the experience in a pub, you know, where you time flies by. Sorry for my jokes today. I'm just
No. That actually brings us to the next point. Flow is when you have the right balance between being challenged and having a good leverage of your skill set. That's where the flow is happening. So if you're not skilled enough, then you can't perform because, well, your skill set is not big enough, and then you're struggling and you're not really moving forward. If you're not challenged enough, you get bored. So it's this fine line between this riding on the wave, so to say, is that you're on the edge of your challenge, and your edge on your skill, and both match up. That's exactly where the sweet spot is. So, and it actually is a speed area. It's not just one spot.
It sounds familiar. I never thought about that, but it's true. I think if you do some, you know, work, easy work, then you just realize after a few minutes it's really boring and it's never ever get you into flow. But on the other hand, if you're just struggling with every moment that you're trying to move on, it's not gonna end up in a flow either. So it's right in between both of them. So
it's for example with program, if you need to kind of check every statement and every new command because you haven't used it before, you're not really getting into the flow. But if you're just kind of doing some programming that you have done 1,000 times before, that isn't challenging you either. So it needs to be in between.
So now obviously, I mean, we already realize a little bit when talking and finding this spot is why it is important, because obviously this is quite a efficient, let's say, area where, you know, where you move on relatively quickly, but, and you're not stopping or struggling too much. So it's quite efficient period of time that you use for working.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, Chick Mahaley actually discovered that because he was looking for joy and happiness. And so it's also these moments where people really experience happiness and joy in their life. And I think that, of course, fuels a lot of passion. So it's also very, very motivating. So it's really, so to say, Wonderland. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact, actually, because I personally don't remember. I mean, I remember that you, at the end of the day, you went home quite happily because you kind of knew what you did. But the moment itself passed by without any, or the moment, it wasn't the moment, it was actually like a long period of time, but it passed by like a moment. And I at least don't remember like a, you know, overwhelming happiness after during that time. I mean, I was quite, when I experienced this, I was quite good, because I know that I'm often struggling with, you know, being disrupted or, you know, things are not moving as quickly as you would like to. So these are this very, very nice feelings after, at the end of the day, but as a passion and a moment of happiness, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really encourage you to check out this small TED Talk, like all TED Talks are rather short, that we have linked to in the show notes. And of course, there's a couple of different conditions for actually getting into that. So we have talked about how it helps you to achieve things and how it helps you, you know, to get things done. But how do you get to this Wonderland, so to say, where you're at top performance, or maybe you're together with your team and really peak performance?
Yeah, I would say one quite important piece is the place you're working. So, I mean, you know, in the pedestrian zone, I wouldn't expect you to get into flow, at least not with stats tasks. So it's
maybe as a street artist.
Yeah, street artist, maybe. So, but, you know, that's just maybe quiet place. Maybe also the, you know, what we discussed before in earlier episodes is that you maybe switch off emails or, yeah, you know, let's just try to avoid any distractions. Because if people calling or emailing you and you are reacting on this, then you're off the flow, obviously.
Yeah. And it's really hard to get back into the flow as well. So, yeah. There's actually a couple of different flow triggers around that. And I don't want to go into all of them, but because there's another really, really nice presentation by Steve Kotler about them, which talks about all the different flow triggers, and we have that in the show notes as well. But really, the most important thing is that you can actually train yourself to get into these by having certain routines, certain habits that help you to that. But for me, personally, the most important thing was, you know, being, preparing myself, managing all distractions, making sure kind of my door is closed, that I have uninterrupted time, and then I can really focus and get things done. By the way, in terms of that, I recently found out about a new tool for that. Have I told you yet about FocusMate?
No.
Okay, that's something that I only used for a couple of days now. It's an interesting free online service where you can schedule your time. It comes in 50-minute chunks, and you find an accountability partner through that. So your accountability partner is also going to have this 50 minutes of focus time. And so you basically see each other through the video, and then you just, you know, tell each other what you are committing to. Then you say, okay, let's do it. You do the 50 minutes of your tasks. Then you report back on your success and off you go.
And but that is like an basically unknown person. It's really like just anyone that you see live and you kind of discuss and commit to in a way.
It's a stranger, but an accountability partner. And you see the other person, and it's a real person, yeah? And it works. It's well, I'm not a psychologist that can explain you all the kind of details behind it, but it's this kind of accountability thing.
We touched the accountability thing before, so it's probably something that people need to try to really see whether or not this is helping you to get the tasks done. Because I would say that there are people, obviously, like you, that do do feel or take this accountability to a stranger, and there may be others that are just can do this themselves without strangers in their life. And also, maybe be careful what you're telling, because this is, I mean, sometimes you do work on
confidential things.
Unblinded data, let's say.
So the other person can't see what I'm doing. That's the other thing. But it's an interesting experience. And the good thing also is, it helps you to focus on a longer time. So that is the other thing about being in this flow. You want to make sure you can focus on this as long as possible. Because, the longer the better. Very, very easy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's why maybe like focus mate or like the 50 minutes is not really the ideal solution if you're, for example, programming or do some, writing of SAP, which is taking longer than 50 minutes. But in any case, if you're in the flow, you usually lose time. So having a 50 minute set, like an end, hard end, then that may interrupt you as well in the flow. So.
Yeah. But 50 minutes is already a nice chunk of time.
And I don't remember when I had 50 minutes last time really focusing on something and getting into the flow. So
in terms of that, I think the other part is you don't want to procrastinate it too much. So I think this 50-minute chunk is something that is kind of manageable. If you have a too big of a piece that you want to do, like I want to write this paper completely, so that is so big, I think that very prone to be procrastinated forever, and then it's better to bite size it.
Yeah, I think that's something about the goal setting for the day or for the next hours, just for planning. I mean, obviously you can't, if you need for some task 48 hours, then even with the flow, you might realize it at some point in between. So no, I mean, this is really about getting, putting the right chunks together, in a plan for the next, hour, 2 hours, whatsoever.
Yeah. And then it's really important to kind of stay in the moment. Not think about the future, not think about the past, but really kind of being in the moment and experiencing the flow and just kind of keeping it is really important. And not let your mind wander to what you will achieve, but just kind of enjoy the experience.
But I think, I mean, this is in theory, but if you're, for example, if you're kind of are distracted from inside, like, having thoughts on other topics, then this is maybe a difficult moment anyway to find the flow. But otherwise, if you are in the flow, then you are in the moment and, and then you just enjoy it moving forward. So I think it's really it's really just let it go, basically.
Yeah.
The most important thing is probably to plan this a little bit ahead to avoid distractions and to avoid anything that may pull you out of this of the flow during that time.
But it's also about practicing. Yeah, so it's setting up the time to actually do it, and then also keep doing it again and again and again, and you'll get better at it. There's in these different TED Talks, there's actually a lot of kind of neurobiology in there with all the different neurotransmitters that get engaged, dopamine and what have you. And also I did 10 years of neuroscience as a statistician. I'm still not kind of fluent in all these kind of neurotransmitters, so I don't want to bore you with that. But the lesson from there is that you can learn it. It's like a technique that you can practice over and over again. But as I said, you need to carve out time and set yourself up for success here. So for me, for example, early in the morning is a good time for that, because then being here in Europe, the US is still not awake, and the US is probably the other way around. In the afternoon, when there's not any emails from Europe anymore coming, and then I also don't yet have any meetings, and that helps a lot to be in this flow. Also, as I'm working from home, kids are in the school or kindergarten, and that helps a lot.
Yeah, but I think this is the outside, or like the environment that you need to find to really concentrate on the work that you're doing.
Yeah, but you know, if you do it every morning, you practice it, and you get better and better at it. And you know, it may not work each morning, but the more you practice, the more you get these benefits. And I think it's really important, because that way you can get meaningful work done in a reasonable amount of time.
And I think, practicing is not only to just find the flow, it's really also to get the right, to plan the right things to do. Because as we said earlier, if you're over-challenging you, then you might be struggling. If it's under-challenging, it's also difficult to fall into a flow. So therefore, it's not only the actual, concentrating on the work and removing any distractions. It's also about what to set as a goal for the next hour, the next 2 hours, to really find the right thing to do and trying to find a flow.
Yeah. And then at the end, you can look at what you have achieved, acknowledge it, and celebrate it for yourself. That will also help you to get into the flow again, because this kind of positive recognition helps to get into the flow next time. It's a weird thing, but it's another kind of psychology thing. But So that's all what I wanted to say about flow today. Benjamin, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, you mentioned the group flow. Did you? What do you think? What can we say about the group flow? Because I think this is more challenging to find this or to plan this and to move into this, because it's obviously not you alone, but a group. So any thoughts or any hints that you can just give for the group flow?
So I think it probably happens more easily with smaller groups than a larger group, I would say. And I think it works well with, so to say, like-minded people that know each other very well. If I can remember, for example, at work, it really worked with in these one-to-one situations very often, where you are helping someone to move forward. Sometimes in these kind of coaching meetings or in these discussions about topics, you really dive deep into the topic. And I would say it exclusively works with people that you know, like, and trust, so to say. Hmm. I think if there's if you don't trust people, if you don't like people, I'm not sure that you get into this flow, because then there's too much distraction there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think this is, I can only imagine. I mean, I honestly didn't really experience something where I would say it was a group flow. In a way, I could imagine it's something that would happen in coaching situations, for example, when you really work together with somebody else, and then this really getting also deep personally, individually. So something where I would imagine this is, this could be happening. But as I said, I never experienced this, but I agree. I think if the chemistry isn't right, then there won't be a flow. Needs to be right team and right pair of person, people working together.
It needs to be kind of safe for you. You need to, and for everybody in the conversation, probably.
But would you say this is, you can plan it, or is it more like something that could happen if you concentrate on the,
I think it's
on working
the
together?
Same as with the individual flow experience. You need to have a good setup. You need to manage distractions. You need to have a good challenge. You need to have but as you mentioned, in addition, you need to have this good chemistry within the room. Yeah. So, and then I think you can get into this group flow. I think where you see that as well is, in sports teams sometimes. Yeah. We're just, the ball is running and it's like people just know what the other is doing in the next millisecond. And it looks just, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, it's interesting, because I was more thinking on like on a, canoeing or something where you people are just for hours, but for a long time, really having the same rhythm and the same connection and moving along the river. So this is where I was just thinking about, rather than like a ball play. But
So today we
talked
about flow, why it's important, some personal experiences from both Benjamin and myself, and how you can reach it through finding the right balance between the challenge and the skill, and how you can get into it. I really encourage you to check out the notes in terms of these two videos there. And with that, thanks so much for a nice recording again, Benjamin.
Yep. And everyone enjoy the flow.
Everyone enjoy the flow. Bye. Till next week.
Bye.
This show was created in association with PSI, and also thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background. Thank you for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes with all the links that we mentioned, and learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector. Also, we have a LinkedIn group called The Effective Statistician. If you want to join that, please do. We'll share additional experiences there. So, reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.